We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Blue Wire. With the seventh pick in the 2021 NFL Draft, the Detroit Lions select Penei Sewell, tackle, Oregon.
He's going to run it straight in. Jared Goff.
Carr gets down the Detroit Lions. TJ Hawkins, they did it. They tied it. They're an extra point away from winning this game. Oh, baby, how big is that?
Yo, what is going on, guys? Welcome back to the Pride Podcast, episode 238 on the Blue Wire Network. I am your host, Tyler, joined by my two guys, as always, Mr. Malcolm Hart. Fear, how are you boys doing today on our Monday night?
Man, I'm doing well, Tyler. Hope you're doing well. Malcolm, how are you doing, bro?
Woo, let's go, man. I'm doing great, man. You know how it is.
And we got ourselves a very, very special guest. We're stacking up on the guests, and I'm very proud of it. And I'm going to give our props to Pierre, because Pierre hit our boy up, Eric Schlitt from Pride of Detroit. Eric, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Eric, so, I mean, I'm assuming everyone from Lions Twitter knows who you are. Everyone listening probably already knows who you are. But if they don't know who you are, where could they find your work? Where could they find you out?
Yeah, my writing is at Pride of Detroit, and I do my own podcast as well called the Detroit Lions Breakdown. I put that out each week, and I will also guest. I don't want to say guest because it's Pride of Detroit's podcast, but I am on there every so often too. So this time of year, it's a lot of fun. I enjoy getting to go on different podcasts and talk to different people and socialize and get different points of view.
I appreciate you coming on, Eric, and, you know, let's get right into it. Let's talk about the draft. Pick two, we were talking right before our show started. We said there's a lot of controversy at this pick right now. There's a lot of sides going. We don't know who's going to be the pick. There's a lot of fans wanting this guy, a lot of fans wanting that guy. It seems like right now the unanimous pick, and this is no lock by any means, but it seems like as of right now, a lot of people are mocking Aiden Hutchinson to be the number one pick to go to the Jacksonville Jaguars. Assuming that is the pick right there for the Jacksonville Jaguars, What is your favorite scenario for the Lions here at pick two?
My scenario is not necessarily going to always line up with what the Lions are going to do, right? And that's the big mystery this year is what exactly are the Lions' plans? What are they looking for? Because there's a different flavor milkshake for every one of these guys, right? And so I like Trayvon Walker personally, out of the defensive lineman out of Georgia. I think he is a very complete player. I think he has a lot of upside, and the positional versatility allows him to impact the game in a lot of ways. Look, if they're looking for a bender, he's not going to be that guy, right? But I just think from a balance standpoint, from a game standpoint, he's the guy that I have right up there, right below Hutchinson on my board.
Wow. So, Eric, I have a question. A lot of people talk about potential with him. What do you think his ceiling is? Like, what type of player? If you had to compare him to a guy in the NFL right now, or maybe like a former player, who do you see like his ceiling? Where do you see his ceiling at potentially?
That's a good question. I think he comes into the league and he's at least Rashawn Gary, right now. I think that's kind of like what he is, right? He can come in, he can be, he's a guy who can play a couple different roles, and it might take him a couple of years before he's ready to start really unleashing it, because that's really what it took with Gary, right? I think that's one of my expectations are right now. Now, as far as how high that can go, boy, that's hard to say, right? There's a lot of really good players out there that fit his, that kind of run stuffing defensive end who can, what we've seen out of, I mean, like at 6'5", 270 and have his athletic markers, that's pretty rare. Now he doesn't play at that level, right? Not yet, but he can. And like with Rashawn Gary, who, in Don Brown's scheme, he was that anchor end where his job was to set the edge and then on his way to the quarterback. And that's kind of what Trayvon Walker is right now. But I think he can be a lot more. I think he can do what Gary's doing, but continue to exceed past that.
Eric, my only concern is, so this kind of reminds me, remember Clemson's D-line a few years ago where they had Dexter Lawrence, Christian Wilkins, I'm sorry. And then Austin Bryan obviously was with us.
Yep.
And I mean, most of those guys haven't really worked out. Maybe Dexter Lawrence has kind of lived up to the hype. Austin Bryan been hurt. Wilkins is kind of like up and down sort of. So my concern is when you look at the Georgia D-line, you got Devontae Wyatt, you got Jordan Davis, and then you have Trayvon Walker. How much is that playing with those guys in terms of production, and how much is that actually him? That's kind of my concern.
Sure. That's valid. There's you're going to ask that question with all of those Georgia players. Right. That's just the nature of the beast. For me, this Georgia team is more representative of like what Alabama does, in my opinion. And that's what I'm looking at more than that Clemson D line, which is a fair reference, and it's an understandable, trepidation to have. But I look at how many five stars and how many just elite rotational players. And like Georgia has defensive linemen on that roster that aren't draft eligible, that are going to probably be better than the guys that are in this class. And that's what you get at Bama too, right? Like you get these guys at Bama that are just waiting to explode. And so that would be my only counterpoint, was that they remind me more of like Bama, right? And so you have to, when you're studying his tape, there's going to be spots when the other guys are occupying blockers and he gets more one-on-ones, and then can he take advantage of that? You look at the fact that when Jordan Davis has to leave the field, Walker's the guy who took his spot on the interior, right? Like, because that was an important role that they went from one athlete to another. And so for me, it's just about, from what I've watched and what I've seen and what I've liked, I think he stands out enough individually and he does his job the way that he's supposed to so frequently he's going to translate to the NFL quicker than a lot of college players will.
Okay.
Really quick, I just want to get your thoughts on Kayvon Thibodeau.
Yeah.
And when was the point that Trayvon Walker passed him as far as like in the overall, because to be honest with you, when I was looking at these prospects, Trayvon Walker didn't really get up there until after the combine. So at first it was like Aiden Hutchinson, Thibodeau, and now I'm hearing Walker might go first overall. I'm hearing he might go one. So when did that change for you?
Right before the playoffs, probably. When they were looking like when Georgia started closing, you could start to see some of these guys transcend, right? He was dominant against Michigan. I mean, he beat the tar out of Michigan, right? And he really was really standing out then. The hard part is when you're watching these games live, is there are so many flashy players on Georgia. It is hard to get a guy that stands out, especially one like Walker, who is a lot of times setting the edge or occupying blocks as opposed to getting to the tackle. But he was on my radar in the latter half of the season for sure as a guy who I thought was going to go high. Now, I don't know if I thought he was going to go this high, But he continued, like Hutchinson, he continued to just step up and step up, and the game just kept elevating and elevating. Like with Hutchinson, Hutchinson was on my radar a year ago. Like, he was a top 15 pick for me a year ago. And I thought he would have been the first edge in last year's class, but he didn't really transcend to this number one type pick until he started putting things together and more consistency, and then just elevation, elevation, elevation. And that's when you saw him kind of, Hutchinson, start to separate himself. It wasn't, a lot of people want to say, oh, it was the Ohio State game. Now, you could see it, you know, billowing up throughout the season. Like that Michigan State game, he was dominant in that Michigan State game. And so it's always this like kind of building process. With Thibodeau, it almost was the opposite. You saw this guy come in with these such high expectations that if he wasn't lighting the world on fire, then he was going to be looked at in a different light. And honestly, like, Oregon started to fall off. And when Oregon started to fall off, his play wasn't as dominant. Of course, he's dealing with injuries the whole season as well, right? Which doesn't help him. And then he skips the bowl game. And so you don't get to see him in the postseason. Like, whereas Hutchinson and Walker, these guys are going through, they're going through their division championships. They're going through the playoffs, right? They're in your face and you're seeing their game continue to rise. Whereas I think Thibodeau, he was kind of out of sight, out of mind. And then when you start getting tape on these guys and you start really looking at the nuances of each of their games, there's different things to like about each of them. And if the Lions are looking for a bender, well, Thibodeau's one of the best benders in the game. The problem that I have with him is that he gets washed a little bit too easily. And he doesn't hold his anchor as well as I'd like, right? In the NFL, you really have to be able to hold your edge as an edge player, right? And he doesn't do that as often. And so my concern with him is, can you teach him to dial back his aggressiveness when he needs to stop, set, and then anchor where on that edge? Because that's part of the NFL game. Whereas like a guy with like Walker, I think he's so athletic, you can teach him a secondary pass rush move to get him to elevate his game a little bit more. So I just think it's a little easier to develop Walker because his game is a little bit more NFL ready. Whereas Thibodeau, you're asking him to go against some of his natural instincts, which is just to point, you know, beeline to the ball. And he does that really well, but there's some flaws there that could get exposed in the NFL. And so that's just my little concern. Now, I still think he's a top five pick. I still think he could go two, right? But right. I have some mild concerns about all of these guys. And that just happens to be my mild concern with Thibodeau.
Wow, that is probably the best evaluation out of these three players I've probably ever heard this year from anybody so far. So that was great, man. Thanks.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error. Get the Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
So, Eric, did you think the hype of Kayvon Thibodeau, you mentioned it, we were talking about Kayvon Thibodeau in last year's draft, in the 2021 draft, yeah. Like, this guy's the unanimous number one pick, and, you know, I think he even maybe didn't get the comparisons like Myles Garrett, Chase Young, but he got very high love from the media and just the fans in general. Do you think that hype of Kayvon Thibodeau going to the season and maybe him not delivering on that hype, do you think that's what maybe killed his stock a little bit to the fan base and maybe the media a little bit?
I'm sure it hurt a little bit, certainly. Yeah. When you have expectations for these players to hit certain markers, and when they don't, then yeah, that's going to, you know, resonate negatively, especially amongst the media. Because look, the media, we're playing catch up, right? Trying to figure out what teams are doing. Whereas teams go into January and they've got all 300, 400 players on their draft board, like kind of in a general stacked order where that they've done homework and scouted and they've done all these things that they're just trying to add to it. Whereas the media, we're like, okay, I have to figure out who this player is that everyone's, and it's just, we play catch up. And so there tends to be these very drastic overcorrections by the media. And that's why you see these big sways in draft boards and stuff like that, is because guys are like, holy cow, I didn't know this guy. This guy wasn't in my top 100. And now he's an automatic first rounder because I wasn't aware of him at the time. Right. So you see these big sways. And I think with Thibodeau, he is getting dinged because the production's not there. And then when you add in all this like extracurricular stuff and like, he's really getting hung out to dry on effort in effort on the field, effort off the field. Like, and like, I think the off the field stuff is overblown. I think the on the field stuff, there's some merit to that because there's times when he does get complacent. Right. And that's correctable. And that's not overly a big deal, but people are nitpicking right now. And all of these prospects have flaws. And it just seems like when this is a guy who is supposed to be that number one, he's getting very, just a ton of nitpicks on his game.
My only thing with that is like, I believe he was dealing with an ankle injury, like for most of the year.
I feel like that
kind of like affects your game as well. Right.
Certainly.
So personally, I take Thibodeau over Walker, but I'm not against taking Walker. Like you said, he's probably a top five guy on my board as well.
Yeah, it really just depends on what your preference is.
Right.
So Eric, I know I eliminated Aiden Hutchinson in this scenario because I just assumed he was going to go number one. But let's say you have dibs at all three of them. Let's just say hypothetically you have dibs at all three of those guys. What would your order of those three guys go?
It'd be Hutchinson. Hutchinson would be one with a bullet. Yeah, yeah. There's no doubt in my mind. Hutchinson has the attitude. He's more complete. There's not a lot that you would have to do to his game. There are, of course, little tweaks and stuff like that you're going to have to do to get him where he can be more impactful, I guess, early. But for Hutchinson, I think he does. He doesn't have the bend, but he can bend, right? And he can also set the edge. And like, there's just so many facets of his game. And then the mentality, it all ties in to I think what they're looking for. And then again, personally, I have Walker and then Thibodeau. And then I have Jermaine Johnson as my four. And but again, it could be totally different if they're looking for that bender. They could easily have Thibodeau over Walker. I don't think they would have Thibodeau over Hutchinson, though. I think Hutchinson brings too many other elements to his game where I think he would be the pick if he's there.
Who's your favorite player that won't go in the first round?
Oh, good one. Well, that's the hard part about a question like that is that you have to think, you know, is that guy going to slide, right? Because a lot of times we're like, oh, I think this guy's going to be a first rounder. And then all of a sudden he slides. And then that would have been my choice. Right.
Right.
But let's see, let me see if I can go. Well, I'll tell you what is, do you think both Georgia tackles are going in the first round? I do.
Yes.
But I would think if one of those guys slid.
I think if Wyatt went to 32, I think Holmes would run and make that pick.
Oh yeah. I think he would definitely be there. I think Dax Hill is a guy who's kind of on that fringe, but I think he goes in the first. I like him quite a bit. You know, I think this guy probably wasn't a first rounder to begin with, but now that he's injured, I think he's really going to drop. I really like Damone Clark, the linebacker out of LSU. He is a guy who came into the season with not a lot of hype, and he was just able to stack games. Right. And he's a highly intelligent person, both on the field, off the field. And he almost as, and you see this with a lot of highly intelligent people, players, is that they tend to overthink sometimes, and they think, you know, they're trying to analyze too many things that are going on around them, and they end up, it causes them to be like a tick late to the ball or a tick late to the play. And I think Clark had that problem his first couple of years at LSU. The talent was there, the athleticism was there, but he was always a tick late. But that clicked. It clicked this year. And you could see he wasn't thinking as much. He was being more instinctual. And he's a guy that I thought was going to be in play at 34 for the Lions. And now he's going to have back surgery. Prognosis is that he's supposed to be able to recover from it. I don't know. We'll see how it goes. The doctors will have to weigh in on that. But he was a player that I thought had just a boatload of potential. And he's probably going on day three now, which is a shame.
So would you take a chance on him with, like, what is it, a fifth round pick, a late five, I think, or something like that?
Yeah, I would. But again, you know, if the doctors come back and they say, boy, this is not an injury that the linebackers are going to be able to recover from, then, yeah, I mean, then you're not going to waste the pick on him. But if he's going to have a full recovery and he's a guy that I liked at 34, then I absolutely would be comfortable taking him on day three.
Yeah, he's a guy I've always liked around that 66 range. So I think it would be a massive steal if you could get him redshirt a year and then come back the following year, maybe potentially start with Derek Barnes. So my question is, okay, I know you probably won't want to answer this, but I want to hear your opinion. So say at 32, mm-hmm. the Lions are thinking quarterback, and these three QBs are on the board. It's Ritter, Howell, and Coral, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which one do you think would fit best, and which one would you personally take? Let's just say, like, hypothetical, they're going to take one out of those three.
Yeah.
Which one would you take?
I think they'd take Ritter. Okay. I think Ritter offers them some more versatility. I think he has some aggressiveness. He's comfortable taking vertical shots. For me, I think his ability to be mobile and the confidence to chuck that ball all over the place would be appealing to them. He's not NFL ready, in my opinion, right now. There's accuracy issues that he has to clean up, but I think Ritter fits what they're looking for.
I always thought it was Howell because, you know, Dorsey drafted Baker, and he has that strong arm.
He looks just like him, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, like a similar playing style, yeah. So,
yeah.
I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, and they had him at the Senior Bowl, and that's going to help. And then you talk about the fact that that the OC went to North Carolina as a quarterback as well, right? And so, like, it's a lot of connections. Right. Howell's my fifth. I have QB five on Howell. There's too many gambler traits in him,
right,
that don't often work out. And for me, with Howell, when he lost all that NFL talent, I was hoping he would be able to take the subpar, like the not yet NFL talent ready players, and be able to elevate them. And he really wasn't. To his credit, he adapted his game to be more of a running quarterback, and he was a lot more successful doing that. And that's how you win college games. But I would have, as an NFL evaluator, I would have liked to have seen him be able to elevate those around him more than what he did.
That's fair. Yeah. So I thought like Josh Downs could potentially have a bigger year, but we just didn't see it that much out of him. So I agree.
Yeah, they're developing it in North Carolina. It's not, you know, they're not like an SEC team where they can just reload. Like, it's going to take them a couple years.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah, so going back to just the second overall pick, if you had to make a top five big board just for the top five players for that number two overall pick, how would it go?
I think it would be Hutchinson and then Walker and then Thibodeau. And then I think we put Kyle Hamilton in the mix there. I think that's Hamilton's cool. going to be four. And then might come back to Jermaine Johnson, the other edge, the edge rusher out of Florida State. I think he would probably be my five, although I would be, I know this isn't going to be popular, but I do think Sauce Gardner is probably in the top five defensive players. So maybe, you know, I'm going to put Sauce in there at five instead of Johnson.
So, Eric, you're missing somebody.
One more time, really quick. Who was the five? I think we're missing somebody, but I just want to make sure.
I'm missing Willis, right? That's what you're getting.
You are missing. Yeah, Malik Willis. I mean,
this is juicy stuff right here because Willis. There's a lot of people who want Willis, and
yeah, absolutely,
it seems like you're out of Willis. You don't want him. I don't want him either. Just to make that clear, just want to hear your thoughts on that, man.
I like Willis as a person and as a potential prospect. I don't like him at two. I don't think here's the deal. He might not be ready next year. Like he might be 2 years away from being NFL ready. And you're banking on him developing a lot of skills in order to be NFL ready. And it's not just one or two. It's a couple, right?
Yeah.
He has incredible leadership. Players are drawn to him. He has great athleticism. His mentality is on point. He has a good quarterback's mind where he doesn't blame others. He takes responsibility. He understands, but he's still processing. Things are still moving fast for him, right? Even at the college level, they were moving fast for him. Well, they're going to move at lightning speed for him in the NFL. And that's going to take time to acclimate. There's accuracy issues. He has to he holds the ball a little bit too long, right? He needs to be a little bit quicker with that ball. He's not a guy, even though he's athletic, he's not a guy that's always going to bail. He tries to hold that pocket, which I like, but he holds onto that ball too long. He needs to be able to get that ball out quicker. Like he almost is like Goff in that he has to see it to throw it, right? And you would like your NFL quarterback to be able to throw it before it comes open. You know what I mean? And that's really, I think, what separates the top quarterbacks in the league from the other quarterbacks in the league.
You know what I mean?
Like, and so you're banking on these things all clicking. And if they do, he could be a great quarterback in the NFL. If they don't, your GM is looking for a job.
Absolutely. It's a big risk. It's a risk I'd be willing to take. Like he's not my number one choice, but if they took it, like I see the vision behind it.
I would absolutely understand. But you only get so many shots at a quarterback, and if you're unloading your number two pick to get that guy, they better be a lot more confident in him than I am right now. And they obviously know, like, because look. You talk to him, a character. I mean, like the character is just through the roof with this guy. Like, I think he's an incredible person, and I think he can be a great leader. But the football part has got to click a little bit more.
Absolutely. I was gonna say, like, when I was watching this film, I like anticipation throws. I haven't seen any of that, and that's the stuff that gotta get. Like, you see Kenny Pickett, and now people are not high on Kenny Pickett, but you see him anticipate his throws. Like, he throws before the guys are breaking their routes.
Yeah.
You don't see that with Malik Willis. So that's one of the stuff he got to clean up.
Yeah, he can uncork that ball. And I mean, like, he's got an arm to put it anywhere he wants. But he doesn't always let it loose when he needs to. And, I mean, his interceptions came in bunches. You know what I mean, right?
Yes.
And he looked rattled by defenses that shouldn't have rattled him. You know what I mean? And granted, his offensive line was just a sieve, right? It was terrible. I mean, they were just terrible. But And he never blamed them, to his credit. I mean, my goodness, if I was a quarterback getting ripped like that all the time, I would be like, hey, you know, but it's great, you know, great leadership from him. But yeah, you can see routes open and he's still like progressing. Now, maybe that scheme and maybe like Hugh Freeze is telling him he's got to go through this, like, you know, route tree or whatever, but like, he's sometimes you see it come open and he just doesn't. And when he does, the defensive back is recovered and then it's a problem.
So Eric, I know you're obviously not on a big boat of taking a quarterback, obviously not putting him in the top five. But if you were to give a QB1 status in this draft, would it be Malik Willis?
Yeah, because of upside, right? I think his upside is through the roof, you know, if it clicks, right?
Yeah.
That's the trick. If you want a guy who can come in and start for you now, then Kenny Pickett is your quarterback. If you want a quarterback that could be a potential top 10 quarterback in the league, well, then you want Willis, right? Yeah. And then it's just a matter of what you're willing to gamble on or what you're looking for.
Yeah. And that Lions right now obviously don't need a quarterback that to play right away, like a Kenny Pickett. So they could, if they were to go the route of a quarterback, you go the route of a project because you have Jared Goff as a stopgap right now.
Yeah. Like, so I put my big board out today, or my updated big board that I do for my Patreon subscribers for the podcast. And I had Willis, Pickett, and then Ridder. And I really toyed back and forth. Now, I'm going to put my final one out in 2 weeks, but I'm really toying between putting Ridder ahead of Pickett for the Lions.
For the Lions, because, yeah, that would make sense.
Yes, for the Lions. Because I'm trying to make a line. It's for, specific for the Lions board. And so I'm really toying between that because I think Ridder is – he's a guy that I think fits better with them. And the upside's there and you know, the age is there. There's a lot of things positive for him that you don't get with Kenny Pickett.
Yeah, I definitely agree.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's have some fun here. So Jordan Reed from ESPN dropped a full 7-round mock draft. So we're going to read off every single Lions pick, and you're going to give me your thoughts on each pick. We'll go pick by pick, and we'll just hear your thoughts.
I actually haven't seen this yet. So I saw that he put it out, but I haven't seen it yet.
Ooh. Okay, I'm glad you haven't seen it because I was hoping you didn't see it, so I'm actually very glad you didn't see it. So let's start off with pick number 2 for the Lions. This has no trades in it, so just
it's going to be Malik Willis, isn't it?
It is Malik Willis.
He already knows. That's the guy. Yeah. That's the guy.
Yeah, Jordan likes him. Again, it's not my pick. It's not my choice. I would understand the logic behind it, but yeah, I would be happy for the player and I would root for him, but it wouldn't be the choice that I'd be, you know, jumping on the couch for.
Absolutely, yeah. And you already explained that, so I don't think you have to go too in-depth with that. All right, let's go to pick 32 for the Lions. He has linebacker N'Kobe Dean from Georgia. What's your thoughts on N'Kobe Dean?
Yeah, lock it up. I like that pick quite a bit. There is this kind of misconception, I think, out there right now that the Lions are looking for bigger linebackers or no linebackers at all. If you look at the guys that they've added, if you look at the players at the position that they brought back in, they're fast and they're not the biggest guys in the world. Like that size is not as important as speed. And they want players that can hit gaps and get to the ball and fly around in coverage and he does all that, right? So right. You know, he's a little smaller, but he's not, if they brought him in, he wouldn't be the smallest linebacker on the roster even right now. There's a couple of guys smaller than him already there. Right. But like, and so he gets this knock that he can't get off blocks, but look, There's not a lot of linebackers getting off blocks. You know what I mean? Like when an old lineman gets them, there's only a couple. Like Leo Chanel is one of those guys that can do it. But there's a lot of other guys that can't that are at the top of this class. But the thing with Dean is that a lot of the times he doesn't have to get off blocks because he gets to the spot first because he's so fast. And if he can get to that spot first, then the offensive lineman is just taking chip shots on his side instead of getting him fully engaged. And he doesn't have to beat a block because he just gets there and he can get to that hole and he can get through. And that you saw that a lot at Georgia. I would be excited about that pick.
Yeah, he reminds me a little of Deion Jones, the size, the speed, kind of.
Yeah, yeah. Vilma, I think, was my comp for him, and somebody else said Deion Bush. I liked that. Devin Bush.
Yeah,
yeah. That's a good one. Yeah, yeah, I like Devin. I think he's, you know, I think Devin's a bit underrated. He hasn't performed as well, but I that he's talented.
Yeah, he had that injury. He had that torn ACL that kind of set him back. Yeah,
yeah, for sure.
All right, going on to pick 34, Senior Bowl guy, wide receiver Christian Watson. What's your thoughts on Christian Watson here, 34?
You know, there's just a boatload of potential with him, right? He's not as polished, which is why I think he probably won't go at pick 34. But when you look at the athleticism, the markers, the fact that he can be an X, all of those things are going to appeal to teams at the top of the second round. So it's very, I could absolutely see a team, especially like the Lions, taking a guy like him who could come in as wide receiver 4, maybe take over a starting role halfway through the season type of thing. So I would be okay with it. I do think it's a bit early, but there are only like, when you look at the athletic markers, like height, weight, hand size, arm length, and then all the drills, from the 10 all the way through like the short shuttle. Yeah. There are only two guys in the whole draft that can say that they were above average in every single category. Those two guys are Christian Watson, and you want to guess the other one?
Is it Garrett Wilson?
No, it's Trayvon Walker. All right.
Oh, I thought you were talking about receivers. My bad.
No, sorry.
No, you're good.
Which is why I like one another feather, why I like Walker so much, because he checks off every box athletically. But yeah, but Christian, I mean, there's so much hype for him there. I'd understand it a little early, but yeah.
Okay. Going on to pick 66, edge rusher Cameron Thomas here. First edge rusher take from the Lions.
Yeah. All right. Well, I mean, look, he's basically like junior varsity version of Walker, right? He's a guy who was originally a defensive tackle who dominated at a smaller school at the defensive tackle spot. They kicked him out to the edge and then he just dominated on the edge. Right. And that's what you want from a guy that plays at a little bit lower level of competition. You want him to dominate at every one of his spots. Now he's only like 270. What's his weight? 267. So he's probably not kicking inside in the NFL on a consistent basis. It's possible he can. He's still got, you know, pretty good length, and he's 6'4", but he's got that versatility to kind of move up and down. He's a good edge setter. And so if you're not taking an edge in those first three picks and you take Walker or Thomas there, you know, I'd be okay with it. Cause again, I think this style of edge rusher can make sense in this defense.
Okay. Great values version of Trayvon Walker. I like it. All right. Going on to pick 97, wide receiver David Bell from Purdue. What's your thoughts on David Bell here?
I'm not as high on Bell as others are. And I also am not a huge fan of double dipping at wide receiver with those first five picks. I think Bell can get chewed up by press a little bit too much. And I think that in the NFL, if the teams recognize that they can just jam them and then they take them away, that they will. Can he turn into like a consistent starter in the NFL? I think he can, but I think his flaws are exposable right now to NFL corners. I think NFL corners are going to just chew him up early. Plus, he's going to be what, wide receiver 5? I don't think, I mean, if he was drafted, I wouldn't take a wide receiver 5 with one of those top 100 pick. It just doesn't seem like a good use of draft resources to me.
That definitely makes sense after especially signing Chark, and then they re-signed Josh Reynolds, brought Cleveland back. So that definitely makes sense. All right. The Lions obviously don't own a 4th round pick. That obviously could change on draft day, but for the sake of the mock with no trades, let's go on to the 5th round at pick 177. He has safety JoJo Doman.
So he's your safety linebacker hybrid out of Nebraska, and he's actually such a good cover player. I think PFF lists him as a cornerback in their draft board, right? So he is just over 6'1", just under 230 pounds. He's actually not as fast as you would think, but he plays way faster. Like, there are guys out there that just don't run exceptionally in a straight line. Like, it's just the way it is, right?
Right.
Like, I ran track in high school, and I could never get out of the blocks. And so, to the point that my coach was like, okay, you're just going to run relays because you get a head start, because you just can't get out. And some guys can't. They just don't – it never works for them to be able to get out of the box, like out of the gate like that. And so they run slower times, and that's fine. I mean, look at Kyle Hamilton. Like, when he's – if you watch the head-on view of his 40, he's drifting and stuff, like, right? You know what, yeah, I mean? Like, if you drift, that slows you down. And so right. – It's to me, it's about how he plays, and he plays faster than he runs. And so this is a guy you can match up as immediately day one. He is a dime linebacker or a hang safety, whatever you want to call him. But he's a guy who can take over a slot position. He can match up against tight ends. He can match up against running backs. He can even match up against your quicker slot receivers too. He's got a lot of range. I would actually, for me, I have him as a, I think he's a top 100 player on my board. So to get him at 177, massive value for me.
Awesome. I honestly was not too familiar with him. So that's interesting. All right. Going on to the sixth round, pick 181. He has cornerback Josh Thompson here. So what's your, I don't know how much you know about Josh Thompson. We're getting a little later in the draft. So if you don't know these guys, it's completely fine.
Josh Thompson out of Houston. Where's he out of?
I believe so, yeah.
Let me see. I don't even see him on my board. Oh, yeah. Wait, no. What college?
I'm looking it up. I believe it's Houston, I believe.
Yeah.
Oh, no, yep. Texas.
Texas.
Yeah, he played it there. He was on their senior bowl. He's a track athlete. He was, I remember I did the senior write up on him for the senior bowl. Track athlete. He was more of like a safety hybrid. I think that's early for me. I didn't really have him as a draftable player going into the senior bowl. If he does, he would be a little bit later on my board. He's not very big. He's just over 5'10", not even 200 pounds. You're banking on potential, and his future might be at safety. So you're looking at a guy. I mean, look, again, I don't hate that concept of taking a hybrid player like that. I'm not as much in love with Josh Thompson himself. He's pretty far down my board. And like I said, I didn't even remember his college. So that's how much he didn't really stand out to me.
Okay. All right, final two picks here. We have linebacker DeMarco Jackson from App State. What's your thoughts on him, if you know anything about him?
Yeah, they actually did homework on him during the year. I thought he did pretty well, and kind of reminds me of Dakota Allen a little bit. He's a guy who ran in, like, in the 4.5s. Again, another guy who was with them at the Senior Bowl. I think he could compete to be like a buck linebacker of the future, like that kind of sub line, not the mic, but the guy next to the mic, right? And if your plan is to, put Derek Barnes as your future mic, then yeah, a guy like Jackson, he can make some sense. I do think you said this is sixth round.
Yeah, this is their second to last pick. Yep.
Yeah, this is the right. That's about the right spot for him too. I think he has future where he could be better than his draft slot, but it's going to take him a little bit of time. But I do like him. If you watched him at the combine, he was one of the guys that stood out for me. I think he looked very fluid in his movements, and he's a guy that I do think would be excellent value at that spot.
Okay. And going on to the final pick at 234 in the seventh round, cornerback Chase Lucas from, I believe it was Arizona State.
Yes. Yeah, Arizona State. So another double dipping at corner here too, huh? I think Chase Lucas is he's more of a, He's more of a nickel, or potential nickel, I guess. Like, he's got decent speed. He's got good agility, good jumps. He's actually higher on my board than the Texas kid is. So, you know, if you would have flipped them, maybe I would have been a little bit more, you know, easy on my analysis there. But again, this is a guy who I view as a late rounder. So I'd be okay with that late rounder. He was played to the East-West Shrine Game. Arizona had, you know, look, when you have Herm Edwards as your coach, right, you're going to teach NFL talent, right?
Right.
And so, I don't mind that at all, especially if you're taking a shot. Now, again, if you take off the Texas kid, I like this pick a lot more. Cause again, I don't like double dipping, at corner necessarily when they have what they have. So, not bad. Eliminate a couple of those picks and switch them out. I think I'd be okay with that.
My thing is just like the safety spot waited a little too long, because I think safety is probably one of their biggest need, arguably number one need on the team, probably.
Well, waiting. I tell you what, the way that I like to look at the draft, the way that I like to look at the draft is you have to look beyond the needs this year. Right. And when you look at their 2023 roster, they only have two safeties on their roster, Tracy Walker and Brady Breeze, who was the rookie they added late in the year last year. Same thing at linebacker, Derek Barnes, end of list. Right. Yeah. So like safety and linebacker are two spots that are screaming the Lions should use a high pick on a player here to give them a player that's going to be under contract for them long-term. So, you know, look, I think edge is where the value is at the top. And then I think you got to look linebacker, you got to look safety, and there's value at safety in the third round. There's guys that they can get in the second, there's guys they can get in the third. Once you get past the third though, you're starting to take guys that are going to be challenging CJ Moore for a role instead of, you know, trying to compete for a larger spot.
Okay. So if you're I hate draft grades, but I'm going to ask.
I don't. I'm terrible.
Okay. You know what? Terrible at grades. I hate draft grades. You hate draft grades. We all hate draft grades. Cancel Perfect. Draft grades. We don't give hate draft grades.
Give them an A because I like them. I like, you know, I like the analyst. So give him an A for him.
Jordan Reed's awesome. Yeah, he's awesome, man. We've been on here a couple times.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, we had him on a couple times.
I like Jordan quite a bit.
He's great.
All right. Well, Eric, I got one final question for you, and then we'll wrap it up here. The final question. What is your hottest take in this whole 2022 draft? It could be a guy that you really love that's not getting the hype, or a guy you think is getting way too much hype and it should not be in the spot that he's projected.
I think the one my pick at the top is the one I've got the most heat for, right? Like saying that I like Walker over Thibodeau has given me so much flack. It's
definitely hot.
I'm actually more stunned by it, but like that's fine. Like I'm okay with my analysis. I mean, it seems weird to say that that's my hottest take, because it's you're talking about a couple of elite players, right? But geez. I don't know if I have another one other than that. I mean, I'm low on Bell. That's one people usually yell at me about. Yeah. the David Bell, Purdue kid, because people, you know, they like him. I don't like his game. I'd have to say the one that I catch the most flack for is definitely my criticism of Thibodeau. I have caught so many people just telling me like, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm really surprised at how aggressive people were. And, you know, we were talking about this earlier, like, and for whatever reason this year, there's so many different options and people have kind of latched onto one guy that they like, and anyone that doesn't like that guy, they're going to yell at. And that's kind of like how things are right now. Right. So if I say something bad about Willis, I got a lot of people yelling at me about that. If I
Ryan
say something
Matthews. Bad about Ryan Matthews.
What's crazy is that, you know, even last year, we all kind of looked at that draft and said, boy, it's either going to be Ja'Marr Chase or Penei Sewell. And we all kind of like agreed with it. This year, Ryan likes Willis. I like Walker. Jeremy likes Thibodeau. Like, there's not a lot of consensus even amongst our staff, and you know, we're all supporters of one another. But I think that's right. just how this draft goes. And you're gonna, no matter who the pick is, you're gonna have a whole bunch of people screaming that it was the dumbest move they've ever made, and like, you know, but it's, I guess, the nature of how it is this year.
I get a lot of slack for saying, like, Kyle Hamilton at 2. Like, I'd rather take a safety later in 32, 34 versus at 2, just the value for me. It just isn't there.
Sure.
Like, we say this, like, would you rather have, like, the 10th best edge rusher in the NFL or the best safety in the NFL, like, player-wise? And we always say, like, the 10th best edge rusher over the best safety.
You pay more. You pay the players more to get that are around the ball more because those players impact the game more. Like,
right.
And I haven't really talked much about Hamilton, but like when you watch Hamilton's tape, you see him just, you know, existing as a safety, which just things that safeties do. And you're like, he's not really making a lot of plays. And then all of a sudden he flashes and he does something like incredible. And you're like, holy cow, I understand why this guy's in the conversation. And then he stacks a couple more and you're like, oh my, okay. He put like 6 or 8 huge plays in there. And that's why he's being talked about. But the other like 50 snaps, like he's just not as impactful. And that's not him. That's the position.
Right.
And so can you use him and can he be like one of the better safeties in the NFL? Absolutely. But like, he's never going to be as impactful as what you can get out of an edge rusher. And that's just the game. That's just how football is played.
Yeah.
And I mean, I like him a ton, but from a value perspective, there's guys at 32 that I think are going to be a little tick down in play, whereas the tick down at the edge is a lot more significant. Even though this is considered a deep edge class, I still think there's a big drop off from the top guys to the guys that are even available at 32.
I think he's being, you know, this was very unfortunate, but I think he's being overhyped. And as far as overhyped, I'm talking about like the player comp, as far as like who we're comparing him to. Like, I'm hearing Sean Taylor. I'm hearing Ed Reed. Like, oh, we can have another Ed Reed. He's not Ed Reed.
People trying to have another Sean Taylor too.
He's not Sean Taylor.
Yeah, I like you want him to be Derwin James is what you want, right?
That's
like,
what
you're
I
hoping.
Too,
yeah. You're hoping for that. Like, that would be an awesome pick.
Yeah. Right.
But when you're at 2, you can't just take awesome. You have to take elite, and that's why you got to gamble on one of the other guys, in my opinion.
And Eric, I think you bring up a great point too. That I didn't even think about it. Like, I think last year when they drafted Penei Sewell, you bring it up, like Penei Sewell, Jamar Chase. I think a lot of the fan base is going to be excited. But like this year, like, I wouldn't be shocked. Whoever it is, you're going to get the fans that are very excited about the pick. And then you're going to get the other side of the fans that are like, what are we doing here? Oh my goodness, this is Brad Holmes is a failure. What are we doing? I think we're going to see a lot of that on draft day. Wouldn't be shocked.
Oh, yeah.
We will.
We will. Just get yourself ready for that. We will.
Like, it doesn't matter who it is. If it's Malik Willis, if it's Kyle Hamilton, Kayvon Thibodeau, Walker. Like, I think the only guy every fan would be content with is, like, Aiden Hutchinson. I feel like that's the only one. I feel like
there's a lot of people that don't like him, too, because they don't think he's got a secondary pass rush move, which was the knock on him in 2020. Not necessarily knock on him in 2021, but people get stuck in there. One of the hardest things for fans to do, and even analysts, I mean, everybody, I mean, it's one of the hardest things for anybody to do is to evolve their original concept of a player. And when you have this idea of this is what the player is, even when he develops and it's a couple years later, you still have this idea of this is what I saw and this is what he's going to be. And people don't always readjust their perception of people. And it makes it really hard. That's one of the biggest hangups as an analyst or a fan, is that you have to be able to say, what has he done differently? How has he evolved? And what's more, but people get so locked in on, I saw this and that's it. And this is the way it is. Like, it's not that fluid. People change, man. I mean, like, this is a people business, and you know, we like stats and we like X's and O's and measurables and, you know, RAS scores and PFF scores. We love all that stuff, right? But it's a people business, and you can't ignore the fact that people are going to evolve.
100%.
I said that countless times.
Yeah, and I'm not even trying to butter you up, Eric, but you do a great job of, like, you don't stick to one opinion, too. Like, you're always evolving to see what's happening, and you're going to always see what's going to be on the field. You're not going to stick to one opinion. And that's why I really respect about you. So I respect about you for sure, Eric.
Yeah,
appreciate that.
Well, Eric, this was awesome. I really appreciate you coming on. This was amazing. So maybe we'll do on after the draft. We'll get your thoughts on everything the Lions did. And that being said, that's all I got. Hope you guys all enjoyed the episode. And I'm signing out, guys. Peace.
All right, guys. I'm out. Peace.
All right, y'all. It's your boy, Malcolm. And before I sign off, I just want to give a big, 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 big thank you to Eric Slip. He doesn't know this, but he's been a big inspiration to all of us. As far as the podcasting game, we got into this game in 2018. And in 2018, there was only like really three big Lions podcasts. You had the Pirate Detroit, and you had the Lions Breakdown, and then I believe it was the Detroit Lions podcast. But he's been a big inspiration to us. And just for what he's doing, it's a big thank you to what he's doing. And we're just glad to have him on, man. It's actually an honor. It's a big honor.
I'm super happy, man. That's it's very thoughtful. I appreciate it. I'm happy that you guys reached out and we were able to get this done.
Thank you so much, Eric.
Thank you, Eric.
And we're out, man.